The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You better watch who you're talking about.
The inaugural Big Ten season for Oregon comes down to this.
What we've created so far this season is really special, but obviously there's still some things ahead of us.
This is Primetime on Big Ten Championship Week.
Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
Whittington stays on his feet. Touchdown, Oregon.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on the Odyssey app and 1080.
You're making me uncomfortable.
The Fan.
Hey, what'd it do? Screwed me up there.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was you
a little,
doing there?
Wasn't there a glitch in the open there?
Might have been a James Franklin.
What was that about?
There's no glitch.
What was that?
I produced that. There's no glitch there.
I think there was.
Bucky's taking that personally.
You're damn right.
It threw me off.
Spent extra time on this imaging here.
You can't be throwing your hosts off the game.
You kind of had a weird...
It was like,
it's like you were in real.
The volume came up too quickly after the final soundbite, maybe.
Maybe. I didn't.
There was no glitch.
It didn't sound like, I thought it was done, and then there was another.
She peeing in the man's Cheerio saying there's a glitch. Thinking he's Swigard over there.
I want that redone. Yeah. By Swigard.
Fat chance. By Swigard, maybe. By me, no.
You want a glitch. Everyone knows the Swigard edit. But yeah, he's busy. He's got like nine jobs. Didn't have time to edit things.
Yeah, Swag is the king of the bad edit.
Here's the situation.
It's the quick edit. You know, it's like we got things to do. Swag's a very, very busy man, and he will let you know with...
What are we supposed to be, professional?
Many, many sighs.
A lot of guys like that around here these days.
A lot of anxiety, a lot of sighs, a lot of tension.
The holidays coming up.
Yeah, I always find the holidays, and this is where I'll get like, you know, everyone will tell me to shut up. But I find the holidays to be very relaxing and like calming and supposed to be in a good mood. But then there's the whole other side of it where like, you know, old Krampus comes out and people get all on edge and, you know, you don't have to like.
Not me, fella.
Exactly. I put up my. I finally got around to put up my lights today.
Yeah, you did.
I was feeling good.
What color?
I got new ones last year. I did the candy canes, reds and whites.
Oh, nice.
I used to be the twinkle multicolor light and the small ones.
Mm-hmm.
And all my neighbors, all the olds, almost exclusively go with either the solid one color or the two color of the big bulbs. And I was like, you know what? I like what they're doing. And so, yeah, I switched over.
So do you match now? You guys, are you a matching neighborhood?
I would say that there is a theme and a style, except for one house that's got dragons. They love dragons, and they just do different dragons for the different holidays.
Hmm.
So there's a 4th of July dragon, there's a Halloween dragon, there's a Christmas dragon. I didn't know you could get like different dragons, but, and they're not like small. They get like these, I'd probably say they're like 15-foot inflatable dragons.
Yeah,
and
we have a house.
They're dressed up in different holiday decor.
We have a house nearby that loves all things Tim Burton, specifically Nightmare Before Christmas. And so the giant inflatable character from that, like Skellington, pops up around Halloween, and then they just convert it to a Christmassy scene after that, and it kind of stays up all the time.
Yeah, yeah. The dragon is ever present. What I appreciate is after the holidays, it's just a dragon. There's no.
At the holidays, it's a Christmas dragon.
It's Christmas dragon.
And it's a turkey dragon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a bunny dragon.
Yes.
It's like when I had the werewolf that became the Christmas werewolf and then stayed up till the it's March and there's still a werewolf.
And it's kind of a weird house to begin with because it's a nice house and it's big, but it's kind of fallen into a little bit of disrepair. You know, you can tell an older couple lives there and they just don't have the ability to keep it up. But I'll tell you what they can keep up, the damn dragon, 12 months out of the year. But for the rest of us, I think because I live with the olds, the light setups are simple and kind of traditional and classic, and there's not a lot of branching out. And so I feel like it's better to fit in and not rock the boat with the olds. Just it works.
Not rock the bulb boat.
Yeah, I don't want to rock the bulb. And plus, I do. I think it looks good.
Well, yeah, I do too. We had this debate the other day because we were putting up our tree, and I think that people have hot takes about lighting. In that, do you like the all white?
Yeah.
Do you like your tree to be kind of matching?
Caitlin Clock is white
and bougie, like real, like magaziney,
or like homemade sort of.
Or
ornaments.
Do you like it to be all colors and mismatched ornaments because that's tacky, and the tackier the better?
Yeah.
What do you like? And then I don't know. I think everybody's different.
Well, there was a.
What I was going to say is I like the neighborhoods that all match on the outside.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
It looks good.
It looks good. And it shows that maybe there is some sort of community there.
Like a unity sort of thing.
Like people are in it together, and that's nice to see.
I like it, yeah. It makes me feel good.
Although it also probably means their next door app is obnoxious.
Oh.
Because they're all up in each other's business.
I'm terrified to go on the next door app.
Or their HOA meetings are a nightmare.
Well, I feel like I am on the... I'm the topic of discussion on that app way too much, and I don't want to know. It's like, why would you seek out?
Do other people know and tell you? Like, does BTJ hop on there and let you know that they're talking about you?
No.
I bet she's on there.
And she's probably talking about me, too. Like, hey, you believe this ass? Like, I just...
You believe what I have to live with? I'm as bad as you guys are.
Oh, she tells everyone that. I get a lot... her friends get that a lot. You see what I put up with? It's usually after she's done hitting me. I was like, why do you make me do that? This is what I have to put up with. But I don't understand seeking out, like, negative... views. Like, if you're posting something on Instagram and you know that the backlash is coming, why post it? I will not understand that. So me going on the Nextdoor app, nothing, I promise you, there's nothing on there where it's like, hey, that young man, and I'm not young, for God's sakes, but the young man on the corner, that's not happening. It's going to be something. It's just not going to be good. So I choose to not participate and just pretend that there's a lot of goodwill. Maybe someone out there is like, hey, he finally got around and now he has matching lights to the rest of us.
It took me all of a week to figure out that Nextdoor was not for me.
Yeah.
And it was less bitching about other people. It was just more of like, wow, like people are really watching for things.
And
like,
a lot of people have so much time on their hands.
Yes. Yeah. Like they see everything and it's like, hey, did you see the ambulance? Well, no, I was working. Well, like it's just that. It's just nosy. Yeah. They're more nosy than they are critical.
Sure.
It's just,
I noticed for the third time this month, there's been some sort of law enforcement or first responder at this house down the street.
I've noticed some lady in our neighborhood literally walked or was driving her little minivan by me, and she rolled down the window and she says, I noticed you walk your dog a lot.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's weird, but okay, thanks. Yeah. And she's like, would you ever consider stopping by my house and taking my dogs? And
that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's something like, that happens to me.
You know, since you're already doing it.
I love it.
Yeah. I was like, no, I don't have the time. I'm sorry.
See, that's
you. You can just swing by.
That's you being a bad neighbor.
And so I'm sure that on Nextdoor, she's like, oh, that guy walks his dog all the time. I wonder if you should ask him. Get me out of there. Get me out of the chat.
Well, and I will say that the deaths and the strokes, which are commonplace in my neighborhood, those do get passed around because that the gossip does there. That's you don't need an app for that. Word gets around. In fact, we lost another one, like I would say maybe a month ago.
Another what?
Another person. Yeah, they went down.
Another old.
Yeah, like it's not, and I, like people think I'm joking. Dude, the amount of deaths that occur in my neighborhood, we get at least one a month. And we get like a medical incident, I'd say 5 out of the 7 days that I'm walking my dog, I walk by a fire truck or an ambulance. And by the way, not a fire truck or ambulance driving by. No, just positioned at the place. And the best part is sometimes you can see them taking the people out. They know each other. This is not their first rodeo. They're like calling the people by name, and everyone's just kind of like, "Eh, here we are again." And it just kind of comes with the territory.
You should get like a frequent punch card.
I think so.
Like 10 trips to the neighborhood, the 11th one, whoever goes down the 11th thing, yeah, it's free.
Well, my favorite one, and I told a story, I would say it was maybe 2-3 years ago, is there was an old lady sitting out on a couch. Like, you know, you put the free couch out on the curb for anyone to take. There was this old lady, and she was sitting on one of the free couches. And as I walked by and then I came back the other way, she was still there and kind of looked a little, I was like, "Hey, can I help you?" And she goes, "Oh no, just waiting for the ambulance." And then I was like, "Oh crap. Like, do you need me to?" No, I called and they're on their way. And I was like,
"Thank you.
You've been out here for like 20 minutes. And she goes, "No," she goes, "they know me." And sure enough, then here comes the fire truck pulled up and they knew her. And yeah, they just casually got her up on the gurney and, you know, got the ambulance there. And I love that she went outside, sat down on a couch that was being given away, not by her, by the way, and then just patiently waited for the fire truck and the ambulance to come get her.
Resourceful little bitch.
Yeah.
God, Buck.
That's when I learned, dude, my neighborhood's fantastic.
Why do they bring the fire truck? Why not just the paramedics?
I don't know, but I will tell you that it's usually an ambulance / fire truck.
Yeah, I know, but I don't understand why they bring the fire guys.
I think the fire guys, maybe their paramedics are better trained than the ambulance
fire
people.
Emojis.
Maybe they have more, I don't know. But they're the ones that usually load the people up.
Surely a listener can answer that question.
Yeah, but very rarely do we get one without the other. It's usually the combo.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, my neighbor who has the ambulance there, maybe twice a week.
Yeah.
It was only the ambulance and they were blocking the driveway. This was a weird conundrum. What do you do when you come out of your house to get in the car and go to work? It was about 2:30.
Ambulance.
And there's an ambulance blocking you in. I mean, I can't go knock on, like, I want to be sensitive to the situation. I don't know what's going on with the neighbors. They're obviously, you know, they're older. They've had some health
things
problems.
Happening.
So something's going on, but it does not seem frantic or the, you know, there's no fire truck and there's no sirens. So I'm thinking, okay,
Can you guys take a minute to move your rig? Or?
Yeah, right. Like, I don't want to be that guy. But then I was like, I got to go to work. Like, am I going to have to Uber to work? Do I have time to call an Uber? What do I do? And so I was kind of poking my head, like, you know, looking in the window. I mean, not like peering into the windows, but...
Hey, could you...
Seeing if somebody was in there. And there was someone in there. I couldn't see him, but apparently there was a guy in there.
Yeah.
And he, I think, put two and two together. And he came out and he moved the ambulance for me.
Well, I will tell you that you can always tell the seriousness of the situation.
Then I rammed him as I left.
You gave him a little, how's your father? A little elbow,
like,
on your way
Let's not be
out.
Doing that again, huh?
Rammed him with your Subaru. You can always tell how serious the situation is by the number of people that are gathered. So
yeah, I think that's right.
I've learned that by experience. If there's one or two neighbors out, it's usually, if there's no neighbors out, then it's nothing. One or two, maybe you got something. You get half a dozen out there, something went down. And if you get more than 10, unfortunately, we think we know that the estate sale is coming. And that's when the word spreads and, you know, just, I don't know how the word spreads to that many people so quickly, but they do assemble. They're like the Avengers.
Well, it's like the Nextdoor app. They're watching. Everybody's watching, man.
They just pull up.
They don't have anything else to do.
People are saying the firefighters respond when the ambulance is busy, and then once the ambulance is able to get there.
Oh, okay.
That's according to Chicago Fire. This guy watches TV.
So he's an expert. Well, somebody said, yeah, like ambulances are EMT and transport, firefighters are paramedics. They carry different drugs. Mm. Is that true? And can I ask a really dumb question, or perhaps a poignant one?
Yeah.
What difference is between paramedics and EMT?
Yes. What's the difference?
I think the firefighters are better trained.
Yeah, so they carry, like he said, they carry different drugs. Like they can do more?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Well, why then?
Which is surprising because the medical experts would have the heaviest hitting stuff.
It should be the other way around.
You'd think.
I think the only thing, when the ambulance is just there to try to keep you alive to get you to the hospital.
Right.
I think the firefighters
are more like,
I think they're a little more
specialized. Like they
I feel like the ambulance people should be at least as well-versed as the firefighters.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Because that was the road I was going to go down before I started whatever the hell this is. And, dude, that's a rough... That doesn't pay very much.
You chose well.
We've talked about this. Those the paramedic jobs, that is a rough.
Well, they're having a hard time finding them, aren't they?
Rough gig, yeah. Well, it doesn't pay much, and it's a thankless job, and it's crappy hours, and it's not good.
You probably see some stuff.
I'll just tell you, man, that is not the best of, like, you know, it's not the best of the best that the medical world has to offer. It's kind of like public defenders. Like, they're doing yeoman's work, and God bless that they're out there, but, you know, I think you struggle to find people consistently that want to do that.
Do you think it would have been okay if I hopped in the ambulance and just backed her up?
Just moved it yourself.
Hey, I know you guys are busy in there. I'm just going.
Don't worry, I got it. It beeps, right? It beeps.
Beep.
I'm going to move this thing about 10 feet down. We're going to be fine. Yeah, we're all right.
Turns out they were in there. Hope everyone's okay.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I got to work on time. That's the most important thing.
Right now we're getting not accurate. AMR has paramedics and EMTs on the ambulance.
Okay, so then why then the fire engine?
Firefighters are also paramedics, but in a lot of counties like Clackamas and Multnomah, they do not transport. I don't know. Yeah, because I know some fire, like a lot of the fire engines do not transport.
Yeah. Yeah, you transport via ambulance.
But some fire departments do have ambulances.
Right.
Look, I think the bottom line is...
But why the fire truck? Like, I get it that a fire department has an ambulance, but why also the fire truck? There's no fire.
It just happens to be the vehicle they're out in?
Maybe they're just bored. And like, hey, we'll go with you.
People will dig it if we bring the big rig.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be something cool.
Well, because they're the ones that show up to, like, the bad stuff. You know, like the bad car wrecks and the firefighters. They got, like, the jaws of life. And there's usually some strapping lad on there that's handsome, you know. Then all the neighbors have to come out and stare at. You know, it's you got calendars. It's a whole thing.
Man, everybody's got hot takes on this.
Our listeners are all over it in a lot of different ways.
Every part of the country has a different flow chart of how calls get triaged. All firefighters in this area are EMTs, but not all firefighters are paramedics.
It's like whiskey and scotch and bourbon. Yeah, man. We've gone down a rabbit hole again. Good luck figuring
it out. Someone else says, I've had to call a few times. Firefighters respond first and stabilize. The ambulance then takes over to transport.
Okay. What happens if there's a fire?
Then you got to leave.
They just drop you on the floor. Sorry, got to go. There's a fire.
Maybe they leave one behind. He's like, hey, you've got this. And then everyone else goes out. And I'm guessing there's a lot more medical emergencies than there are, you know, four alarm fires.
Does Dalmatian go with him still?
Boy, I don't think Dalmatians are good dogs.
Is that a thing?
No. I don't think that's still a thing. Maybe a nice border collie.
Well, there's your first seggy.
Yeah, there you go. Everything you wanted to know, but we couldn't really tell you about firefighters and paramedics.
Started with Christmas lights, ended with EMTs.
That's how we do it, man.
Own fire emojis. Right.
Thank you. All right, well, Dan Lanning is on today.
Yeah.
We didn't think we'd get him.
Now we got him.
He wants to talk to us.
Big Ten Todd. I think we made him feel bad the other day when we said he didn't want to talk to us.
What an opportunity.
It is an opportunity.
It is, Dan.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't mind talking to y'all.
Thank you. We will talk about none other than Penn State.
Yeah.
As he is preparing for Penn State.
And maybe the recruiting class. I mean, although he probably won't mention anybody. He doesn't like to talk about individual players.
All I want to ask him about recruiting is if he had the Opus X cigar.
Yeah. How many of those do you got? You got a humidor out
Does
there?
He have? Yeah, exactly. Lots of questions.
And can I get one?
Well, it's not about you. He's not going to give you a cigar.
It's worth asking.
What'd you do?
I think he would give me a cigar.
Well, you're not down there. What do you think? He's going to mail you a cigar?
I think if I went down there, I think he'd give me a cigar.
But you're not going
Open
down there.
Open invite to smoke one down with Dan?
You don't know. Mm. You don't know.
I'd like to see you try that.
I've never met him in person.
I want
you.
Know
what? I'm going to cook on your grill.
I want you to invite yourself down to have a cigar with him.
Done and done.
Okay. See what he says. It's going to be awkward.
I'll bring some Blantons. Oh, no, he's a tequila guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He said Mezcal.
Mezcal.
I'm getting into Mezcal.
Can't do it.
Love the smoke.
Don't like it. I do like smoky scotch, though.
All right. Let's get to going. Dan Lanning, 4 o'clock. Poll question next on The Fan. All right. Let's pull it out. You want to pull it out?
You know how I feel.
See what I did there?
You know how I feel about the polls.
The poll questions on X at 1080 The Fan. Every day, well, not Saturdays and Sundays. Are you always amazed at the people that think we work every day of the week?
I'm more amazed at the people that think that this isn't like my job. I get more of that.
Yeah. But don't you think?
Oh, I mean, this is like a side gig for you?
I do get that. You guys don't work just Monday through Friday. I'm like, yeah, dude, we don't work on the weekends. And then I get more of, well, is that all you do? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Like, it's my job. And they're like, really?
What?
And they feel bad, like they're like, "Do you need some like?" They'll ask if I need like handiwork, like, "You want me to come fix your gutters?" I'm like, "No, I'm all right."
Yeah, I get a lot that's like, why aren't you on Saturday? I was listening. I tuned in. Why weren't? Yeah. Well, it's Saturday. It's a weekend.
Yeah, but like there's football and stuff on, right?
Yes. Not us.
Yeah. Yeah, we get that.
Another one. How about this guy? We got another guy here. Before we get to the bowl. Hey, I've got an extra ticket and cigars. Just need the fan man to get us on the sideline.
Yeah, you're missing kind of the...
How about that?
Yeah. I promise we can get down there.
I think Sue can get tickets, cigars, and on the sideline.
So that guy read your comments that you want to have a cigar with Dan Lanning as you need to get into... You have no way to get into the Ducks games.
No.
And you
Nor
need,
could you find cigars.
And you couldn't find a cigar. You need cigars to go to the Ducks games. The only thing he asks in return is that we put him on the sideline because Fan Man is the one that can do that because he's already out there. Wow.
Well, I said, I've been down to, I think, 4 games since Lanning's been there. And each time that I go down, I'm on the sidelines and I tell myself I'm going to go talk to Dan Lanning. And I get there early enough to where I feel like if I get him before like the game gets close, that's the time to just go out and be like, hey, enjoy talking to you every week. And, you know, just face to face. And every time he goes out there, he is just, he's so damn intense. It's like 2 hours before a kick and he just has a leave me the hell alone vibe. And I respect it. And so each time I'm like, I can't.
It's
so
better
it's got to be in the off season. I just don't want to, I can't be the one to bother him before a game. Either that or I got to go down like at the worst game of the year. I got to go down like when they're playing, you know, Tallahassee JUCO in week one. I need something like that. Can't go down for the big games and bother him. He's very intense.
You have a responsibility to your audience to be more responsible.
Anyway,
this guy can get me down there.
Yeah, he's got a cigar for you.
Yeah.
So he's going to give you a cigar.
I appreciate it.
And a ticket.
Thank you.
But he needs to get him on the sideline.
No, he needs Fan Man to get him on the sideline.
Well, right, because you can't.
No, I got to talk to Dusty.
yesterday's poll question, which is most likely Kingsbury to the Bears, Jimbo to West Virginia, Ryan Day fired, or Belichick to the Jets?
See, Belichick apparently wants the North Carolina job now.
Belichick to the Tar Heels.
Bill wants any job at this point, because Bill knows he ain't getting one.
The winner of that was Kingsbury to the Bears, 43%.
Yeah.
Seems to make some sense with Caleb Williams and everything.
Have a nice run, although I don't think it's solely based on the Kingsbury flop, which we've seen in the second half. But, you know, the Commanders' offense, the first 7 weeks was like gangbusters. And since then,
screeching halt.
It's just... Last week was a nice bounce back. I think it was against the Titans. But, yeah, it's just keep an eye on that. You know, Cliff hasn't had great second halves. And, you know, Bo Nix climbing up that rookie of the year ladder real, real fast.
Ryan Day fired 30%. Jimbo to West Virginia, 19%. And 8% said Belichick to the Jets. Today's poll question, it's up there for you on X at 1080 The Fan. How confident are you Oregon wins the Big Ten championship? Very confident. Somewhat confident, kind of worried.
God, you know, I don't, I like my fence sitting, but you're not going to give it to me. So
never do.
I would say confident, but you didn't give me an option of confidence.
I said very confident.
I don't like that.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. And I don't like
Then don't vote for it.
I like just confident, but you didn't give me that option.
No, so you're only somewhat confident. That means if you're somewhat confident.
No, I'm very confident.
Oh, you're very, so you're going to go with very.
Between
we
those.
We got you off the fence.
Well, again, I don't know why you can't just have confident. Why do I have to be somewhat or very? Why can't I just be confident?
Because that's fence sitting.
Then I'm very. That's
and you're a classic fence sitter.
I'm a fence sitter.
And we have courage here.
I like
freaking
a good fence.
Punch
sitter.
It.
I like
bitch.
A good bench sit. Can I just say I like
I'm
sitting?
Very confident.
Big fan of it. No, I'm very confident. I think Oregon is better than Penn State. I don't necessarily love the way Oregon has been playing the last couple weeks. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's their best. But at their best and at Penn State's best, I have no doubt that Oregon's best is better than Penn State's. And in a matchup that I think it's close. I don't think it's a 3-point game on a neutral field. I think Oregon is 6 points better than Penn State. And I think there's some areas that I could point to that I say, I'm intrigued by the matchup with Penn State, but ultimately I think Oregon is more talented. Across the board, I think they're deeper. And the biggest one is, I just think quarterback play, I think Dylan Gabriel is superior. And I really don't think it's close to Drew Aller. And Drew Aller, in his 2 years as the Penn State quarterback, has never really delivered in a big moment. Now, if you want to go down the Minnesota game and the fourth down conversions, do you consider Minnesota? I mean, I guess they had to win that in order to get to the Big Ten title game. But in the games that we would say truly matter, you know, when they play Ohio State, right? When we're playing for a conference championship, even in this year when the games they've won, his numbers are just never fantastic. And I think just Dylan Gabriel to me is the difference in this game. If you say you like both defenses, right? You like both O-lines, their tight end is better, our receivers are better. You know, you can go through and kind of, you know, pick out where you like. Ultimately, what's the biggest position in all of football? I don't care what level you're playing.
Kicker.
Hey, you got a good one. I don't know what Penn State...
Does Penn State have a good kicker?
No, I can't say that I've dug deep into Penn State.
I feel like they're a school that typically does have a good kicker.
Let's go with that.
You know?
let's just randomly say it.
I bet they do.
We'll ask Dan Lanning.
Ryan Barker is their current kicker. He is a former walk-on.
Oh, he sucks.
You
know what he is for the year?
Like, let's see. I'm trying to find more.
We got the old Sappington.
Well, you know what? Looks like Google AI is boning me again. This isn't happening.
I got you here. I got you. He's 11 for 13. Well, his long is 49.
But I think it's the wrong guy. I think we're actually looking at Sander Sahajadak.
Say that again, please.
No. Sander Sahajadak?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what's his?
He's number 93, and he is the kicker on their website.
93?
I'll tell you right now,
redshirt junior.
I don't like him already.
From 93. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Nah. I can't take a 93 kicker seriously.
He is, let's see, season stats.
Can't take him.
This is hot.
Ooh, he's only kicked in four games this season.
Ah, look.
Wow.
It was a rhetorical question. We all know the most important position in football at any level is
quarterback. 2 for 5, long of 43. Where'd the other guy go?
Ow.
Ow.
Dylan Gabriel, Drew Aller.
Ow.
No one is picking Drew Aller. Therefore, I can say I feel very,
very confident.
Oregon is the Big Ten champs.
Okay.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. That's George Kliavkov. What a classic
God
drop.
And wasn't that in response to them finding a way forward and getting a deal for the Pac-12?
Yeah.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. He is very confident. The most confident I've ever been, and this says something, the most confident I've ever been on this show was the tape measure.
Oh, yeah.
I was just...
And you were wrong.
Oh, I was digging in some heels. And the worst part is as soon as Mike Lynch was on my side, I was like, Rob's an idiot. Dude, I was just...
Well, that is...
What an idiot.
These guys thought it was tape measure. Yeah.
I gotta get my
tape
measure.
And I'm like, guys, it's a tape measure. Why are you adding an additional ER?
Because it measures. It's a measurer.
Tape measurer.
Yeah. Tape measure just sounded dumb. I was like, no, it's a tape measure. And I was willing to dig in my heels, and I was confident. And boy.
There you have it. Penn State wins.
It's not good. That's why I said I'm not very confident. I'm just very confident.
You're making me uncomfortable.
Right now on the poll... 43% very confident, 43% somewhat confident, and only 14% kind of worried. We'll get into more of Penn State on the Dan Lanning pregame show, which will be the segment after next. But up next, let's talk about a very good Thursday night football game.
Maybe the best ever.
Here is Book. All right, we have figured out the Penn State kicking situation.
Thank God.
And Landenberg, Pennsylvania native Ryan Barker, who is a freshman, is their kicker. He kicked last week and made 5 extra points. He did miss a field goal against Maryland.
A field goal of 50-plus.
He is 11 for 13 on the season. He is 0 for 1, 50-plus, and 4 for 5 between 40 and 49 yards.
So what we can say is the Penn State kicking game... pretty solid.
You could be a lot worse.
Be a lot worse.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and just, while we're here, before we get to Thursday night football.
Are we going to Google more kicking stats?
Yeah.
Are we going to do the comparison?
Yes.
How does he compare to Automaticus?
I want
to
see Addison.
Addison?
What's his name?
Cardiaticus?
Cardiaticus. I want to see his stats compared to Barker.
Atticus Sappington.
Which is just...
We've got the other guy, Boyle, who can hit from distance.
Well, Boyle's the one that came in and kicked earlier in the year, he kicked like a 50-something yarder. He's got the big leg. Of course, Sappington, the trader, he was a beef.
So Sapp, 13 for 15, long of 42, 36 of 38 on extra points.
So what we can say is both kicking games, pretty
good.
Solid.
Yeah,
strong-ish.
Pretty good.
Strongish.
Yeah.
I like it. Strongish.
Well, we got Packers Lions tonight.
Yeah.
Fun game. Now, normally on Thursday night football, as we say here often, don't get your hopes up, even if it's a good matchup, because the games are atrocious. Yeah. Because it's just a short week and tough. And they usually reflect that. However, you know, remember, both of these teams played on Thanksgiving, so they actually have had a full week.
Yeah, normal rest.
So it may not look like your typical Thursday night game, which is fun. The only problem is the Lions are so banged up. They lost three guys on the defensive front, and I'm not even counting Aiden Hutchinson.
No.
They lost three guys on the defensive front last week. They're all out tonight, and they had to go sign three players off of other teams' practice squads, and Dan Campbell said they're all three going to be a part of the game plan.
They don't have a choice. They are down 18 players on IR right now.
Isn't that mostly all on defense too?
14 of them, including one of the guys that was going to be a starter rotation guy. Don't even count him because he got hurt in training camp.
That's crazy.
I mean, you got 19 guys, 15 dudes that you were counting on. Three defensive linemen get hurt in the Thanksgiving game. I mean, honestly, I don't know how the Lions are doing this.
I don't either.
And Decker, who one of their best linemen, although this is now, I think, three out of the last five games that he's going to miss. And they've got Skipper, who's a nice swing tackle. It's the best O-line in football, so that is one that they've been able to weather. I mean, nothing has slowed down their offense. But how Aaron Glenn and company are doing this on the defensive side of the ball. And by the way, I mean, you had a defensive player of the year type candidate in Hutchinson go down, and the pass rush has still been really good. But at some point, when you start losing this many guys on one side of the ball, and especially this many guys at one position, and it's really been in the front seven, especially the linebacking core has been decimated and the defensive line. And we'll see if some of these guys are able to come back. Some of them are season ending and they're not coming, obviously. But it's the thing that gives me pause. Like, if I'm power ranking, there's like, what, 6 to 7 real contenders in the NFL. You got the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs. I do think you put the Packers in there. The Lions, Eagles. Anyone I'm missing?
Bears.
Yeah, Bears. Maybe if you wanted to throw a Pittsburgh in there, although I don't really. Their record's good, but I don't think they're a contending team. But I still contend that when healthy, the best team in football is in Detroit, which is weird to say. I don't think you can have that many guys out and end up winning a Super Bowl unless they get enough of these guys back. And just because you have this many guys hurt, by the way, see last week, doesn't mean that more don't keep getting hurt. That just may be a bad run here for Detroit that ends up costing.
Well, it could be a rough night. Or a rough couple weeks for them, you know, while they get healthy, because they have Buffalo next week.
Yes.
And Green Bay, you know, Green Bay is good. They beat Green Bay already, but in that game, Green Bay absolutely, I mean, Green Bay in the game that Detroit won in Wisconsin, 24-14 was the score.
Yeah.
Jordan Love threw a pick six, by the way.
Yeah.
The Green Bay put up 460 yards of offense.
Yeah.
And then now they're in the dome where it's, you don't have to worry about bad weather.
Yeah, they ran the ball for 6 yards against 6 yards to carry.
Against a defense that has pretty much everybody out. Yeah. I mean,
it's tough.
Honestly, it's
in Detroit. It's hard to bet against Detroit at this point, but it would not shock me if. And Green Bay's a good, solid team.
This might be one of those just giveaway games where it's like it's a rough night.
Yeah, you just get healthy.
You just don't have the guys.
Or it maybe ends up being a shootout, because the one thing that Green Bay doesn't do very well is Green Bay does not rush the quarterback. That's right there. If you had to pick their big bugaboo, their front just isn't very good. And if you don't get pressure on Jared Goff, this offense, it's the best in the NFL. He will absolutely murder you. Now, if you can't get in his face, you can make him uncomfortable. We've seen teams that can cause them problems, but right now that is not the Packers' MO. So look out. This may end up with, although it's not really a short week, but on Thursday night we get, like you said, ugly football. We may just get a shootout. This thing may be like 35-31, last team to have the ball wins. And how about you? But sign me up for that.
Yeah, I got a feeling Green Bay might handle them tonight. Mm. It might be one of those games where you look back at the score and go, man.
I'm just not certain that they're going to stop Detroit's offense. It wouldn't shock me if Green Bay wins, but I think Detroit will still score because no one has really stopped this offense. I mean, it is just humming.
Well, interestingly, Green Bay did the first time. I mean, they gave up the pick six. Yeah. And if you take that out,
they only
gave up 17 points, and they only gave up 261 total yards to Detroit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It seems like a rough spot for Detroit, but they, you know, bet against them at your own peril, right? Like, they've been just
10 in a row, right?
They're a machine.
And they're like, yeah, since Campbell got there, 70% against the spread, I think.
Yeah.
Going to bite some kneecaps.
That's what tonight. They do.
Let's talk Penn State as we prepare for Dan Lanning coming up in 15 minutes on The Fan.
And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
All right, this begins the Dan Lanning pregame show. He'll be on in 10 minutes. Penn State, we were talking about the Big Ten championship game here on The Fan Saturday.
You're speaking Japanese.
I don't think we are speaking Japanese. You need to turn on your mic there if you want to be heard.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I was speaking Japanese, and so, you know, we just confuse everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
My big Japanese words, which I know about 25.
Look, this is, I don't know. I think it's easy to overthink this game, but to me, Penn State has one way they can win. One.
Yeah, I could see that.
And Oregon has multiple. Oregon's just more dynamic. Penn State has to make this like Wisconsin.
Yes.
And they're built that way. I mean, they certainly, they're just like this classic Big Ten team. You know, they're the kind of team that we thought Oregon would get more games like this season, being in the Big Ten.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, we thought they would get more games like the Wisconsin game, but they didn't. I mean, they just rolled right through the Illinois and the Michigans and the Marylands or whomever. But this team has the ability to make it like the Wisconsin game. So I don't think, you know, that's why I'm very confident. I don't know. I think we can overthink it and start talking ourselves into, oh, here's, you know, Penn State can do this and that. Oregon's far more dynamic. Yeah. And I just, Penn State's really well coached. They have studs in a lot of places, but I don't see how they score enough to beat Oregon.
Well, that's why, like you said, I think there's a narrow path to victory. It is a path. Wisconsin damn near did it. I don't think they can win in a shootout. I mean, look, they've got the best tight end of the country in Tyler Warren. He's got 81 catches. You know, their second best receiver has 35, and we don't even know if he's going to play. He's banged up. So, and if it's not him, do you know who's the next best receiver on their team after that? It's their back. It's
Ryan Barker.
Yes, they throw to the kicker. No, it's Singleton, who is
good.
Yeah, he's a nice back for them. But, I mean, I think it says something where, you know, your second leading receiver is Harrison Wallace, and then he's got 35. Singleton's got 33. And by the way, he played a lot of this year banged up. Now, he is getting healthy, and they say this is about as close to 100% as he's going to get. And you've seen the last couple weeks that he really is a dynamic presence. But, you know, I think that says something, that especially if their second leading receiver can't go, like you said, I just don't think they have a lot that particularly scares you. So with a team like with Penn State, I think, again, you're going to put a safety over the top on Warren. You're going to try to take him away. And then if you're Penn State, you have to try to run the ball and shrink the game like they did with Wisconsin. And you got to stay out of third and longs. When you look at when Aller has success, it's when it's third and manageable. I mean, Penn State is going to make no bones about it. They're going to want to run the ball on first down, run the ball on second down, and then get into the third and twos, third and threes.
Yeah.
And
I mean, again, classic Big Ten team.
Classic Big Ten football.
And that's what they do. I would say this, the one thing to watch out for, though, and I want to ask Lanning about this guy, but their offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, we've talked about him before. Mm. He's 1 foot out the door, and I'm not going to ask Lanning about that part of it, because he's interviewing at West Virginia.
Yeah.
That is not good for Penn State, but I will say he was at Kansas last year and he is dynamite. And Dan Lanning has already talked about him in terms of creating explosive plays. The thing you got to watch out for about Penn State is they have never been in a more no-lose situation because they did not expect to be in this game.
No.
And they're going to the playoff no matter what, so they can let it rip. And so I wonder if there's going to be some new wrinkles, or maybe they take more risks in this game, knowing that even if they lose, they still get a chance to play for the title.
Sure.
I think that's an interesting element of what Penn State offensively could be bringing to the table. Oregon certainly will try to be ready for that. But I think that this guy's he's good at misdirection. He's good at confusing defenses, and that's something to watch out for. Even though the Penn State offense doesn't really scare you, they have put up big numbers this year. They, you know, and again, a lot of that is against the crappy teams, the same teams that Oregon played. They played, and quite frankly, if you look at each one of them, they outperformed Oregon against some of these lesser teams.
Yeah.
So
Maryland, for example, they blew
up. Things like that. Now, against Ohio State, they lost. Yeah. Oregon won, and I think that's, you know, that's the difference where we all feel pretty good about Oregon. But that's something to keep an eye on too, is that You know, maybe Kotel Nicki's already going to West Virginia. Yeah. Don't know. And in that case, it could be a disaster for their offense because his eyes off the ball. On the other hand, they could scheme the crap out of this and take some serious risks that you didn't see coming because they have nothing to lose.
Well, and you saw the fake punt and you know, that they ran to close out the game against Minnesota. If I'm Penn State, you got to grow some big balls on this one and take some chances. And again, just watch the early downs, because if Penn State has to operate in third and five, Penn State's dead in the water. Against Minnesota, against Ohio State, against USC, some of the better teams. Against Minnesota, 1 of 11, ended up having to squeeze out that game by one. The USC game, which again, they had to squeeze out at the end, they went 3 of 13. And against Ohio State that they lost, they went, I think it was 3 of 12. It's just, they are not a team that is going to convert a lot of long third down. So first and second down, running the ball.
They want to create some explosives that you don't see coming. No, try to catch you sleeping or confuse you. And then on the other side, I feel like they're going to have to blitz Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
I mean,
they got a good front, though.
They do, but I don't know. I feel like if they're really going to get Oregon's offense off its game, they got to warm him up.
Yeah.
And
it's been a while since the team did it. Boise State did it.
Well, Wisconsin did it.
Yeah.
So, and that wasn't that long ago. Yeah. So, again, they want to try to make it like that game. Let's talk to Dan Lanning about it. What do you think about that? The coach
Let's
of the team.
They're fighting for clicks. We're fighting for wins.
He's coming up next on The Fan.